Luke. Our text is Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very word. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." And then we'll begin reading in verse 57 of this same chapter. Verse 57. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Thus ends the reading of God's fear word. Let's pray. Father, how we rejoice that you have broken in to history to be the Redeemer. Thrill our hearts this day with the gospel, the good news, the message of life and hope in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and became man. Fully God and fully man in one person forever. To redeem us. To save us. To keep us. To hold us near. To use us for your praise, and someday to take us home to glory. Show us your glory, Lord Jesus, we beg. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just speechless. Well, actually, Zechariah couldn't say that. But that's what happened to him. He couldn't say a word. For over 9 months, this faithful, old, godly man walks around making signs, pointing, using his writing tablet. Now, the passage we want to look at today is yet another in this little mini-series we've been doing now for several weeks, looking at songs of joy in Christ that are recorded for us in Holy Scripture. And you remember we began looking at this little series by looking at Nehemiah chapter 8, where the Lord declares to us and declares to his people that the joy of the Lord is the strength of God's people. We've taken a little break from our study in the book of Proverbs because it's not enough for us to see what's right and what's wrong. If we would be men and women and boys and girls who have life, we must see the Lord Jesus Christ and love him and be captured by him and following him. And the book of Proverbs is everyday wisdom for those who know Jesus. And so that's why we wanted to take this little excursion for just a few weeks, just to consider not wanting anybody to misunderstand, the book of Proverbs is not a book of just moral how-tos. The book of Proverbs is the life's devotion in everyday life to follow Jesus. It's what it looks like to live for Jesus day in and day out. And so we have spent a number of weeks now looking at passages of Scripture where we see what joy is all about. It is knowing Jesus. And we looked at the Song of Moses as God delivered his people from bondage there in Egypt. They were slaves, and God delivered his sons and brought them unto himself. We saw over in the book of Revelation, chapter 15, the Song of the Lamb and the Song of Moses are songs that the saints who have gone before are singing, even in God's glorious heaven. So this is a song that we're going to sing in heaven. We might as well learn it now to get in practice. We have looked at the song of Hannah, a woman who sees the greatness of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have considered other passages of Scripture, but today we want to look at Zechariah. And we're going to look at two things about Zechariah's song. First, the backdrop of the song, the historical setting for this song, and then quickly just a few things about the song itself. The historical backdrop is that Zechariah ends up not being able to speak for over 9 months. That's a long time to be mute. And it was a chastening of the Lord. It was the Lord's discipline in his great love and mercy and power to this servant of the Lord, who was a man who looked to the Christ because of his unbelief. We see in verses 5 and following of Luke chapter 1, his name was Zechariah. He was of the sons of Aaron. He was of the division of Abijah. He and his wife Elizabeth were just before God. They were lovers of the Christ, longing for the coming promised Redeemer. And they walked with God. They sought to honor the Lord in their life. They had no child. Elizabeth had been barren during the years of normal childbearing, and now they were both advanced in age. We don't know exactly how old Elizabeth or Zechariah were, but they were past the normal age of bearing children. Zechariah is serving as a priest before God, and in the Lord's providence, it is his time to go in and burn incense there in the temple. And while he is doing so, boom, all of a sudden, a flaming mighty angel appears before him. And you notice, while the people were praying outside, verse 10, at the hour of incense, verse 11, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. When angels appear, to people throughout Scripture, almost always, the very first thing out of their mouth is, to those that they appear to, do not be afraid. And so it was in this case. This fearsome warrior of Almighty God's army sent on a mission with a message appears. And the first thing he says is, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And we don't know when Zechariah had prayed this prayer. Perhaps it had been many, many years before. We don't know. Or perhaps even that day. That was one of the things that Zechariah had prayed for. But the angel announces, "God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This announcement is amazing indeed, because this son that the angel announces to Zechariah is none other than the forerunner or the herald of Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, the passage that we looked at last Lord's Day evening in Isaiah chapter 40, we have the voice that cries at the command and the bidding of Almighty God. This voice, the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This voice that cries out, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." The voice that is the herald of good news. The voice that also is promised at the very end of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, chapter 4. The Lord announced that before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, that he would send Elijah the prophet. If you'll turn in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And so this message by the angel now that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a son, call his name John, and he's not just going to be any son. This son is the one who will be the fulfillment. He will be the herald to blow the trumpet, announcing Messiah is coming. He will walk before him, preparing the hearts of people to receive the King of glory who comes to save God's people. We know from the lips of the Lord Jesus recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11 that John the Baptist was that one who fulfilled that promise. Not only do we have these words recorded for us here in Luke chapter 1, that he is the one who will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and to make the disobedient wisdom in turning to the Christ to make the people prepared for the Lord. But we have the Lord Jesus saying in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 11, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." And so that is what we see now is the message of this angel to this godly old man. You're going to have a son. He is going to be unique. He's not going to be somebody that will be treated just like anybody else. He will be filled with his with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Don't give him wine or strong drink. And he will be this amazing herald of Messiah. Well, what is Zechariah's response to this amazing, wonderful announcement? Verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years.'" We see immediately Zechariah saying, wait a minute, there's just one little problem. Well, the angel is instructed now to give this godly old man a lesson. And so in verse 19, "The angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" It is never a good idea to question the word of God. And here is this old man who has an angel standing in his presence. And the first thing out of Zechariah's mouth is not, as we're going to see when we look at the song of Mary, "Be it done to me according to your word." But the thing out of Zechariah's mouth is, wait a minute, maybe you don't understand. I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. How shall I know this? Well, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. One of the reasons why God has recorded this for us, he didn't have to, but one of the reasons he has recorded this for us is not only to emphasize the joy and the gladness that we see in Zechariah when he is privileged to speak again, that he is praising the living God, but it is also to teach us about the foolishness of doubting the word of the living God. And we live in a culture where there is much doubt on the word of God. But we would be wise to take heed and to remember that God's word will always be found true. Whether we are talking about historical events that are recorded for us, like the days of creation, those days indeed are true. They are accurate. And we would be fools. And those who would follow in the so-called wisdom of the world will be found with egg all over their face to deny the historicity of things that God puts forth in his word as historical events. those things that God says are true and good and right in terms of moral absolutes, truths. It would be wise for the men and women and boys and girls of our age to pause and to take heed. God's word is true. If God says that sex outside of marriage is wrong, then that is indeed what is true. It is what God Almighty has revealed. Between a man or a woman, God says that before marriage that that is a sinful thing. God says that the gift of sexuality is to be enjoyed in the bounds of marriage between a husband, a man, and a woman, a wife. It would be well for the people of our age to take heed and to not disparage or doubt the Word of God when He says that the expression of sexuality between two men or two women is an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. But we've got a country full of Zacharias, or even worse, people who claim that they do love the living God, and yet they deny, they doubt the word of the living God. When the Lord says in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. There are many in our culture who do not believe that showing honor and respect to parents is the right thing to do. And yet, God tells us we would be well, do well to listen and give heed to the example recorded for us here in Holy Scripture of this old man who did love the Christ but was chastened rather severely for doubting the word of Almighty God. God calls upon us to be those who trust and obey what God has said in His Word. Well, Zechariah, he leaves the temple. He comes back out. The people realize that he had seen a vision in the temple. He is unable to speak. He's making signs to them. He remains mute. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she rejoices. After the time of birth arrives, we read in Luke chapter 1, now the time for Elizabeth to give birth came, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her, and on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And so that's the backdrop of Zechariah's song. And the backdrop is Zechariah being given this amazing, encouraging, wonderful announcement that indeed God, according to the promises of His word of old, is going to bring Messiah shortly to appear, and that He is going to have a son who will be the privileged herald of Messiah. Zechariah expresses doubt, is unable to speak, but now his mouth is open. His tongue is loosed. And what does he do now? He praises God. And again, God didn't have to record this for us. What should we learn from this? We ought to praise God as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gospel, the message of salvation, that whoever confesses their sins and believes in the Lord Jesus, confessing Jesus is Lord, has life. And what is our life all about? It is to praise our great God. That's what life's all about. It is to know Jesus and to be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who loves to praise God, to live for His praise, to sing His praise, to walk, seeking to serve God with a life of praise because of the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus. So let's look at now just a little bit about the content of this song. The content of this song is all about God. The content of this song is all about what God has done and who God is. And when you stop and think about it, you see Zechariah, he had forgotten who God was. When he asked Gabriel, "How can this be?" He forgot the most important thing, that if Almighty God says that this old couple who had never been able to have a son is going to have a son, that's no problem for Almighty God. Zechariah forgot who God is. And I pray that God will write upon my heart and your heart this day, that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will remember who our God is, and that He will stir by His Holy Spirit in our hearts to sing the song of praise, the song of joy in who our Lord Jesus is. Look in Luke chapter 1, and we'll see in verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a command that God has given to all of God's people. This term, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, means to be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. And we ought to, every day and throughout the day, be crying to our God to give us His Spirit, that we would love our God and we would love the people around us, and that we would be walking with Jesus and be used of Him to be a blessing. When we forget who our God is, indeed, it is not pretty. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, now God has given His word. It is complete. And while we will not be speaking new revelation from Almighty God, yet this same blessed Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ, comes upon God's people to illumine our minds and to bring the Word of God to our hearts, that we would speak and live in accordance with Holy Scripture. And so what is it that Zechariah sings now? Verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He praises God. And you know, that is really what life is all about. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And there's a little verse at the end of this section. The Apostle Paul has labored throughout the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, talking about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. And then in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul addresses a very thorny problem. Well, if Jesus is such a great Savior, then what do you do with the unbelief of God's own people, the Jews, the Israelites? By and large, they rejected Christ. What do you say about that? And so the Apostle Paul addresses that issue, and he says, look, God is sovereign. He saves whom He is pleased to save. And He has graciously reached out His hands to this stubborn, disobedient, obstinate people all the day long. And while you might think that God is through with them, yet before history ends, God is going to pour forth His Spirit and cause even these unbelieving sons and daughters of Abraham, these physical descendants of Abraham, to have their eyes open, and they will acknowledge that indeed Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, who is the only Savior. And at the end of this section, the Apostle Paul just breaks out into praise. He says, I can't help it. Look what a great God the God of Holy Scripture is. Look at verse 33 of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Everything is from God, Paul says. Everything exists through God. He is not only the Creator, He's the Sustainer, and He's the one that everything exists for. To Him be the glory forever. And that includes me and you and everything about us. Zechariah comes to see anew and afresh on the day that his tongue is loosed. He's had a lot of time to think. He's had a lot of time to think about his expressing his unbelief. And now what is the first thing out of his mouth? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. That ought to be the theme of my life and your life. Praising God. Saying, I exist only for the praise of Almighty God, because He's redeemed me in His Son. I don't exist for myself anymore. I exist for Him and His praise. And so, Lord, I pray that You will take me and use me this day. And if You put me in a place that is easy, I'll praise Your name. And Lord, if You put me in a place that is very hard and difficult, I'll praise Your name. Because Lord, I exist for Your pleasure. I exist to be used by You. That's what Zechariah begins. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. He doesn't say, now Lord, why'd You do that to me? For 9+ months, I wasn't able to speak a word. No, no. He says, Lord, I praise Your name. Lord, You have taught me. I exist for You. And so, Lord, I praise You. And I praise You because You have visited and redeemed Your people. Lord, You've sent a Redeemer. Now, you remember when John the Baptist, who is in his mother's womb, when, turn back with me in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. Mary comes to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we have this amazing thing that happened. in verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The baby, John the Baptist, this great servant of the Lord, when Mary comes in carrying Messiah, what does John the Baptist do? He leaps for joy. He's jumping up and down in his mother's womb. And Zechariah, he says, "Lord, you have visited your people. Lord, you've come. You've come to visit us. And you've come to visit us for the purpose of redeeming us, purchasing." Indeed, it was an awesome price God was willing to pay to redeem us. God came and took on flesh. The eternal Son of God came and took on flesh, became one of us to tender his life, to pay. He didn't pull out his wallet and pull out a fresh, you know, bill and lay it down. He tendered his life. He laid down his life on the cross to buy us back to God. He has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. The term horn here is the picture of an ox or a big, strong water buffalo, you know, big horns coming out of this animal. And it was a symbol of strength. And God has raised up a horn of salvation. Jesus has power to save. And if you're here today and you're struggling with some sin, Jesus has the power to forgive. Jesus has the power to change. I had the opportunity this past week to talk to a person who is caught in the web of sin. And what a joy it was to tell this person, look to Jesus. He has the power to forgive you. He has the power to change you. And that's our hope. That was Zechariah's hope. That's the hope of the world. Are you having trouble obeying your mama and daddy? Are you having trouble being sweet when you obey? Look to Jesus. He has the power to forgive you and to change you. Are you struggling with looking at things on the internet that you shouldn't? Look to Jesus. He has the power to cleanse you and forgive you and to give you strength to say no when temptation comes. Are you struggling with illicit drugs? Jesus has the power to forgive you and to give you strength to say no when temptation comes. That's what Zechariah is praising. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And then he spends a lot of time talking about how that God has done this in fulfillment to his word. See, Zechariah says, I was speechless for a long time, but now that I've gotten my voice back, I'm not going to use it anymore to doubt God's word. I want everybody to understand how God is faithful to his word, Zechariah says. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, why does he mention David? Well, we could go back and we could look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 and Psalm 89 and just jot those passages down. And this afternoon, read 2 Samuel chapter 7 and then Psalm 89. And then we could go over to the book of Isaiah. And God told David, "No, David, you're not going to build a house for me, but I'm going to build a house for you. And your son will never cease to sit on the throne of God. And that's my covenant with you." Psalm 89. "That's the promise I'm making. And I'm not going to break my promise. Even though the kings of Judah are going to fall and cease after the exile in the fullness of time." And here it was, Zechariah saying, "God, you're being faithful to your word. A shoot of David has come, and I'm privileged to have the son who's going to be his herald." God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word is faithful. His promises are true. Meditate on them. Live in light of them. Hope in Jesus. Feed that hope from the word of Almighty God, the Holy Scriptures. From the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through your descendant. He's going to be the Savior to deliver God's people from their enemies, sin and death and hell, the evil one. To show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. See, Zechariah says, God's word's true. It still is true, even in our day. Believe God's word. Believe his gospel. Those who trust in Jesus will never be put to shame. Well, he goes on talking about this great God, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that it was through fear of death that God's people had lived, but now Jesus has come and delivered us from that terrible enemy of death and all that leads up to death. Sin, the wages of sin is death. God told Adam, "The day that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Physical death, eternal death, a death where people never die, but they exist, incurring the judgment and wrath of Almighty God in the eternal pits of hell. Jesus came to deliver us from that. What a Savior. How we rejoice in Him. And He delivers us that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. You don't see these signs as much as you used to, but you still from time to time will pull up behind a car and you'll see, "No fear. No fear. Don't fear anybody." Well, that's tough talk. But let me tell you, when people stand before Almighty God, they're going to fear. If they leave this life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they will fear. But Jesus, He comes, and when He saves us, He takes away our heart that has that arrogant, unbelieving, counterfeit no fear, and gives us a genuine peace with the living God where we live without fear. Or at least we ought to. I forget who my God is. And at times, I do fear, unbelieving fear. But when we fear Almighty God, when we stand in reverence and awe of Him, He takes away all other fear. And that's why Zechariah says that when we know this Savior that was promised of old to Abraham and all the prophets, the fulfillment, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who has come, God gives us the joy of serving Him without fear. Without fear of what's going to happen to us. What's going to happen? Will I lose my job? Will I lose my health? No, when you fear God, you have peace. And you say, you know, Lord, I'm in your nail-scarred hands. And whatever you give is good. And I'm going to trust and follow you. We serve without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. You know, years ago, one of our missionaries, Sid Anderson, came and visited. And as long as I have sound mind, I will never forget the text or the sermon that he preached. And just turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In verse 36 and following. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. David, after he had served the purpose of God, fell asleep and slept with his fathers. But Jesus didn't see corruption. You and I are going to have an end of our days here on this earth. And then what's going to happen? Well, if you belong to Jesus, we have the joyous privilege of serving Him all of our days, serving the purpose of God. And then Jesus takes our souls home to be with Him in His glorious heaven. And the book of Revelation describes that when we get to heaven, He wipes the tears from our eyes and He welcomes us home in His glorious heaven where there is no more sorrow or crying or pain, or sickness, or death. That's what you call a good deal. And our bodies are committed to the grave and await that great day when Jesus will come and end history and utter His voice, and our bodies will come back to life. And so Zechariah, as he is just, I mean, he's been all thinking about all of this. And the Holy Spirit now guides him and blesses him to praise God because of the Redeemer. Lord, you give us the joy and the privilege because we fear you to have no fear of all of those other things, to now serve you in holiness and righteousness before the living God all our days. And then he turns to this child, John the Baptist. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins. What is the most important thing we need to know about the living God? It is that He is a God who delights to forgive the sins of His people. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, Jesus, the second we believe in Him, He justifies us. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are declared righteous. The imputed righteousness of Jesus is given to us, and we are declared by the judge of all the earth right. The second, we trust in Jesus. And then God not only justifies us, He adopts us. He says, you're not just going to be forgiven, but you're now in my family. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to imprint my character upon you. I'm going to use you for my glory, and someday I'm going to take you to my home. But all of that is wrapped up in being adopted. And He is sanctifying us. He's changing us now more and more into His image. And someday He will glorify us. He'll take our souls to be with Him, and our bodies await that great day. But that's what Zechariah ends with, that his son is going to have the privilege. Is that your song of joy? To praise God, to glory in the Lord Jesus, to serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness all your days. If it is, you indeed know what true joy is. May God revive our hearts to sing these songs of praise and joy in the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of darkness in this world, but Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And someday, the Lamb is going to come and dispel all darkness and cast the evil one into the lake of fire. And those who have refused the Lord Jesus, that's where they will be. Oh, it is my plea to you from the living God that you will give yourself to Jesus this day, that you will love Him and cling to Him and know peace. Peace through His precious blood washing your sin away. Peace to have the joy of following Him day in and day out, building your life upon Jesus, building a Christian home, serving Him in the workplace, standing for Him in a culture like ours, saying, I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of His word. Just give me Jesus. That's the song of joy. Let's pray. Father, we beg that you would forgive us for so often being like Zechariah, full of unbelief, full of doubt. Lord, you've been so patient and kind with us. Lord, you could have struck me mute many, many times in my life. And yet, Lord, you have not given us what we deserve, but you have been so kind and patient. And Lord, we pray that you would write these verses of Holy Scripture upon our hearts, that we would love you, Lord Jesus, and we would be those who do not doubt your word, but build our lives upon your holy word. Lord, whether we are dealing with any aspect of Scripture, Lord, we thank you that your word indeed is your holy, infallible, inerrant word. And it is truth. And it's all about you, Lord Jesus. Your redeeming work. And then it's for the purpose of us not only trusting in you, but then living for you. How we thank you that these 66 books of Holy Scripture have been given by your mouth, Lord, that we might know you. And know how to live every facet of life for your praise. That's our heart's desire, Lord. Come and save us and press the gospel afresh upon our hearts. Bless now as we continue to worship you together. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, please turn to hymn 231.